Jai Ma, someone has requested to give a little talk on Kamakhya Devi. Now, of course, it's a very specialized subject, but we must know that Kamakhya Devi, her temple is near Guwahati, in Guwahati actually. And it's supposed to be, it is one of the powerful Shakti Peet. Just a quick background, that Shakti Peet, there are 51 or 52, depending on how you see it. And of course, Rajiv Bhai is there. He has told me that there is one in Jyotirling. Of course, that is a Jyotirling in Australia. But there are 51 or 52, depending on which story you take it, of parts of the Divine Mother as Sati. So when she was Sati, she was had come to her father's Yajna, Daksha Prajapati, and he had not invited Shiva because Shiva is free and Daksha Prajapati is the one who formulates the rules. So he does not want somebody who lives in utter freedom. Shiva doesn't have any rules, regulations, how he will come, when he will come, on what vehicle he will come. He may walk in with ashes on the forehead, with mrigchala, he doesn't care. So Daksha Prajapati says, you are a bad example. If you come, nobody will listen to me. So as the story goes, he invites Sati Mata, who is his wife, and Mata Sati, Shiva cautions her. But she goes. When she goes, she discovered that Shiv ka apman ho raha hai, that you know he is giving the yajna portion to all the gods except Shiva. And the push gods can't accept because Shiva is the god of gods, as the legend goes. Then Mata Sati tells him that, you know, you should not be doing this. And he gets angry, annoyed, says all kinds of things against Shiva. The story is very deeply symbolic. Now, if I go into the parables of Sati, it will be a little longish subject. Maybe we'll do it someday. So, Mata Sati plunges into the fire, sacrificial fire, and she dies. Then, of course, chaos follows, because Shiva destroys that whole Daksha Prajapati and with it the whole old world order. What it means symbolically or in factual is that a world that does not recognize the freedom of the divine is a world that cannot last forever, because it's a finite world. So therefore that world has to be destroyed. And very fascinating story of Virbhadra, one of the, you know, primary Rudras who comes and destroys, and it's a very interesting story. And anyways, so Daksha Prajapati's head is cut, and now goat head is fixed, but the goat head is fixed behind in that melee. So when Daksha walks, when he's walking in front, actually he thinks he's walking backward. And when he is walking backward, he thinks he is going forward. So when the old creation is destroyed, if we try to revive it forcibly by somehow ragtagging all the rituals and all those aspects, divine is destroyed. See, that's what is dharma siglani. Shri Krishna, what is dharma siglani? Dharma siglani, he is not talking of adharma. That which had its validity at one point of time, it was a dharma and it has fallen. So dharma siglani is not that adharma is there, but one of the things he specifies, yada yada hi dharma se glani. He doesn't say yada yada hi adharma. Adharma is there, is different, and adharma is also worked upon by the divine. But dharma means that which was true at one point of time becomes redundant and it has to be destroyed, and a new, that same dharma has to come according to the context of time, space, and as a new yuga dharma which Shri Krishna establishes. So the old world order is destroyed. If you try to revive it somehow by forcibly fixing from here and there, that's not the way that mankind should follow. If you really want to revive the dharma, you have to bring out its truth, its spirit. That's what Sri Aurobindo reminds in Uttarpada speech. So what is the truth of the spirit? Truth of Sati is ultimately the Divine Mother, who is the Shakti. She must be reborn. You have to reinvent. See, story is so beautiful. So Shiva is doing vilap. Why he is doing vilap? Why is he crying like an ordinary person? No, he is not crying like an ordinary person. Gods don't cry like an ordinary. They don't cry. Their vilap is not for themselves. A god by his nature does not think about himself. He is crying for a world which he has to now destroy. Why? Because this world has forgotten the divine. It has bound itself in fixed rules and regulations, given it a nice, neat. That world has to be destroyed. Destruction is never an easy process. The divine takes the suffering of the destruction onto himself. So Shiva ka vilap. And then as he is moving through the quarters carrying the dead body of Sati, where will that dead world go? But to Shiva. So he is burdened now with all the misery of the dead world is being destroyed. Sati is embodying all that and he has to carry it. So Vishnu, who has to now create a new balance, a new order. So he destroys the body of Sati into 52 or 51 parts. And through his Sudarshan Chakra, which is a dynamic light in motion. And as these parts fall at different places, they are called Shaktipeet. If you look at them carefully, something in Bangladesh, something in Pakistan, you will see the map of India, cultural map of India. Something in Sri Lanka. When mother made that spiritual map of India, it is there in our story. People often ask me, I said, it is there in our story. You see, these are the Shaktipeet. You make the cultural map of India. So it's also a formation. By doing it, Lord Vishnu created this formation called India much later. This story belongs to something where probably it's not of an earthly realm, obviously. So this is how India was formed by the none else but Hari and Har, so together. And Mata Shakti, by her sacrifice, has given birth to India. Obviously, every nation will have their own story. They should explore. I don't know whether they have forgotten it or lost it. But in India, we have preserved it. So one of her parts falls in Guwahati. The Yoni. Yoni is from where birth takes place. And though there is an idol, it is said that basically it's something which is like a little pit, which is always covered with flowers. They also have an idol, I have not been there, but it's a very powerful tantric Shaktipeet. All these places have become Shaktipeet. I have experienced only of one Shaktipeet. I have on my own, never went, but I've been taken. And that was a place where Mata Sati's heart is there. I didn't know that her heart is there. I don't know why I went and I was there, and not out of curiosity, but I just felt that, ask, can I touch? I said, touch? Yes, you can touch. Maybe, I don't know whether because some VIP passage was there or whatever. So I touched and I actually felt that there is beating. Now please don't turn it into a superstition or something. I experienced it. I can't vouchsafe anybody will experience it. Literally the beating, so much so that I just couldn't take my hand off there. But obviously I had to take out. That beating was so concrete as it was throbbing. I asked later on people, they said heart is there. Nobody whom I knew had this experience. So I suppose it was very individual, personal. And we should not generalize these experiences. So Kamakhya is that place where, as the name implies, all your wishes are fulfilled. Number one, desires. It's a very powerful peak to finish off all the evil spirits and their effects, but also a very powerful peak where black magic also thrives. It's very interesting. And of course, very interesting story of that. Once a year, the temple is closed for 3 days, 3 nights. And during this period, because it's a yoni, it is said that the Divine Mother is undergoing Rajaswala. She is having menstruation. So the mandir is closed. And the only temple where this period, even there is some period accompanying it, I don't remember the exact number of days, but men cannot enter. Just like in Ayyappa temple, females cannot enter. But nobody has raised this problem. You know, these activists raise problems of why female cannot. Here men cannot enter. And if you look at the story, it's very interesting. Just like in Ayyappa temple, it was originally a place where people did a kind of a ghor sadhana. They didn't want any kind of temptation from any quarter. It was a kind of sadhana. And you have to allow people, right? Some people like to practice like that. So here it's a feminine deity. And when she is having periods, men cannot enter. We have something similar in Odisha. This festival, which is called as Ambubashi. So in this festival is in June 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 20th, just after the solstice. In Odisha, you have Rajo, which is just 10 days before. I have never learned to pronounce properly, and my Odia friends are going to Rajo or Rajo. Anyways, so Rajaswala, anyway, the meaning is there. So 3 days, I think it is 14, 15, very close to the solstice. During this period, which is also related to the periods, menstruation, women, girls who are transiting into adolescence, they are worshipped. It's like they have come of age. And during this period, earth is supposed to be having menstruation. So no farmer is supposed to till the soil. What a beautiful message. Without, you know, in a very subtle, refined way. Men cannot enter, farmers cannot till the soil. Why? Because earth is menstruating. So you have to respect that. Period. So she is the one. Now, why? That yoni from which birth takes place. Very interestingly, why this power? Now, there are two yonis. One, the golden womb of all things. That is where she is Tripur Sundari. She is regarded as having the same power as Tripur Sundari. It's very interesting. Tripur Sundari is the highest of the Das Mahavidyas. But Kamakhya does not come under the Das Mahavidyas. Das Mahavidya is a different story altogether. But the highest form of the Divine Mother. So out of that formless beauty and delight, creation emerges. In the Vedas, it's called as the golden womb of transient things, of this world. But here, now this whole power enters into the inconscient and seems to emerge again from that other womb, the womb of darkness. There too, the Divine Mother is there. The same power, the same potency, the super conscient is hidden in the inconscient. That is the story. And therefore it is all powerful. At these two poles you will find the tremendous power. But also why black magic? Because there is that inconscient out of whom, out of which the creation is emerging now from below upwards. The golden womb is above downwards like the Ashwath tree. But actually in real practice we see emerging from below upward. What about desire? Desire is the firster in creation, which gives birth to forms that will continue to multiply and grow and progress, which is where we see in biologically. Now, originally desire entering into the inconscient, stirring it, that's how it's described in literature, is because it draws it out to build the world. That's the original desire, form and name. But in living beings we see it's desire which makes matter become plastic, replicate, and then ultimately it takes up. So that which is delight at the origin seems to become desire at this end. But it is still delight. Desire is seeking for some happiness, transient happiness. Kamakhya Devi can give you all transient happiness. But if you worship her for her own sake, she will give you liberation from all desires. Just as Shri Krishna says, those who worship the gods to get favors, I grant them that. But those who worship me alone, I grant them the supreme freedom. The same truth at this state we see, because she is also considered a form of Kali. She's a very powerful goddess. And people go there for various desires. But the greatest of desire is the, not desire, but aspiration, longing for complete liberation which the Divine Mother can grant, because that's her greatness. This is in short the story, but I feel tempted to read something about desire, Kamakhya. It comes from there, you know. Kama, what is Kama? What is this desire that moves this creation, binds this creation? If you look at it, you know, and that's why one of the things people ask, that if you don't have desire, how will you, then you will be moved directly by the Divine Mother. It's there in every story. Either you are moved indirectly by desire, behind it also is the Divine Mother as Prakriti. But if you don't have desire through Nishkam Karma, then you are directly moved by the Divine Mother herself. So you can make these two choices, two options, the dark mother or the bright mother. They are two sides of one reality. So this is a very deeply symbolic. I could go on and go on, but I am tempted to read something from Sri Aurobindo. I take it that's inspired. So I won't read it fully as a poem because it's a long poem. But I'll just read just portion of it. The poem is named Kama. Not Kama, but Kama. So sometimes the pronunciation can. It is regarded incidentally in Indian thought as one of the valid goals. Dharme chi, arthe chi, kame chi, moksha. So it's one of the things which move us and prepare us. It prepares us for the ultimate if we go through it with the right attitude. It's not that people should live life. Those who are taken to yoga, of course you have to conquer desire and get free from desire. Sooner the better. But she is working in this whole creation. O desolations vast, O seas of space, unpeopled, realms of an unfertile light, grow multitudinous with living forms, enamored of desire. So some people say she is also the mother of fertility. So yoni represents fertility, rejuvenation, creation, all kinds of, you know, meanings you can. I send my breath into the heart of being, and the storm of sweet attraction shall break up its calm with quivering, passionate intensity. Kama is saying, I send my breath off, which attracts with passionate intensity, and silence change to a melodious cry. And that's how we see creation changes into the various forms of cry, of cries of longing. And all the world be rose, out of my heart suns shall flame up into the listless void, and the stars veil in magic dances round, weaving the web of mortal life. So that's why Shiva conquers Kamadeva, so that he can be wedded to the eternal spouse, Parvati. But when he conquers, what he does? You cannot destroy love. He destroys form that love takes. And what Kama becomes? He becomes Ananga. He once again takes a form as Aniruddha. But he becomes as an impersonal force. Meaning thereby, love, like all forces, is an impersonal force. Universe, very powerful, the most powerful, one may say. But when it takes a personal form, then it suffers. Me, mine, I desire, I want. But love is a universal force. It moves the whole creation. For I am love, am passion, I create the world. I am the only Brahma. My desire takes many forms. I change and wheel and race. And with me runs creation. I preserve, for I am love. I weary of myself, and the world circles back into the vast. Because desire always have is by its nature for transient things. After a while you get fed up of transient things and you turn toward the eternal. See how the wheel of desire runs and how it moves everything. It doesn't go so easily. Huh? Temporary vairagya, all this is all samshan vairagya. Out of the samshan people start chit-chatting. Who is looking more attractive and who is, you know, that's how. This is a tremendous power, but in the end it yields its logic. Delight and laughter walking hand in hand, go with me and I play with grief and pain. They go together. Buy one pleasure, get at least one pain free. If you are very fortunate, 5 pains free. But then you will surely not go in that direction, at least for some time, hopefully. Desire is a very tricky thing. Very tricky thing, that's why. I am the dance of Krishna. I the dance of Kali. It has both sides. So you see, that's how you see Kamakhya. The giver of desire, as well as she can destroy everything. So all, she is the dance of Krishna, all filled with joy, laughter, luring, attracting. And then Krishna, Shyama becomes Shyama. Krishna becomes Kali. He destroys in one go all that you were clinging on to, holding on to, the entire Kurukshetra, just 18 survive. The same Krishna who is engaged in the dance of Vrindavan destroys. Apparently, one would say, how cruel and torturer you are who don't understand Krishna and don't know his delight. Might and majesty are mine, and yet I make the heart a child at play, the soul of things a woman full of bliss. I think this is the one few words description of Kamakhya, if somebody were to ask me. Shivindu's beauty is, it doesn't use those traditional terms, but will reveal. See, a woman full of bliss. Tripur Sundri, full of bliss. Hunger and thirst arise and make the world delight. Go down and give it strength to live. O ether, change. O breath of things, grow full of the perpetual whirl. Break out, O fire, in seas of magic color, infinite waves of rainbow light. Thou, liquid element, be sap, be taste in all created things to please the senses. Thou, O solid earth, enter into all life, support the worlds. I sent forth joy to lure the hearts of men. I sent forth law to harmonize and rule. So you see this Panch Tattva he has described. So it is to lure, awaken us to some, we can't awaken to delight right away. So pleasure, joy, happiness. Slowly we move towards the ultimate delight. And every time you have to go further, you have to leave the lesser for the greater. That's what the secret is. And then, lest we completely get lost, that's why there's nothing like termless joy and termless happiness. Foolishly we think, my joy will never end. If it is your joy, it will end. So remove the my, joy does not end. So, and when these things are done, when men have learned my beauty, my desirability, my bliss, I will conceal myself from their desire and make this rule of the eternal chase. When people have gone through the law of desire and ultimately they realize that, that's why kama, when you realize that you cannot ultimately. Dunya hai pani, kehte hain gyani, pani pe likhi likhai, hai sabne dekhi, hai sabne jani, haath kisi ke na aayi. So world is like a, you know, line drawn on water. You see it when you with a stick make a line. Ah, yes, yes. You understand this stick has beaten the water, but you try to catch it, it vanishes. It vanishes even before you have caught it. So then what happens? He has made a rule. What is that rule of the game? This we must remember always. The last two lines are in inverted commas. They who abandon me shall to all time clasp and possess. They who pursue shall lose. If you chase desire, you will lose it. If you abandon desire, kama, kama is saying, they who abandon me shall to all time clasp and possess. All that you wanted by fulfilling the desire will automatically be with you. And they who chase desire shall lose. This is the rule of the game of desire. So Kamakhya Devi, you can ask desires, she will fulfill it. If you abandon desire, then she will give herself to us. And then whatever we need, whatever is necessary, even such a man, his words get fulfilled because he has mastered desire. That's what is the tantric siddhi. Of course, they do it with an elaborate process. But for us, Sri Aurobindo has simplified everything. So if we have to practice this tantra of Kamakhya Devi, they who abandon me, that's the desire self, not Kamakhya Devi, but desire, Kama. They who abandon me shall for all time clasp and possess. They who chase shall lose. Chema.